I'd like to read, first of all, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel, and the first verse. Now, late on Sabbath, as it was the dusk of the next day after Sabbath, came Mary of Magdala and the other Mary to look at the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended out of heaven, came, and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his look was as lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, the crucified one. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and say to his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him." And a few verses in the Epistle to the Romans, and chapter 8, verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us." Verse 28, "But we do know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose." Verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who against us? He who, yea, has not spared his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him grant us all things? Who shall bring an accusation against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who has died, but rather has been also raised up, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, according as it is written, 'For thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We have been reckoned as sheep for slaughter.' But in all these things we more than conquer through him that has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I wonder if the Lord in the preaching tonight would seek to lift our view above everything that's around, where you might say everything's doom and gloom, and see something of the glory of what Jesus has done and where he is. And what Jesus has done, he's done for me. That's the thing that we all know about the glad tidings. It's all a question of what Jesus has done for me. I thank God for that. I have confidence that my sins have been removed forever from the sight of God when Jesus died at Calvary. They'll never be raised against me again. I'm glad of that. And I thought if we looked at these scriptures, they'd give us some sense of the triumph of the glad tidings, what Jesus has done. We know how much he suffered on Calvary. We can never forget that work that he did then, when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We think of what he suffered for me and for you. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Men did their worst to Jesus. They mocked him. They spat upon him. They wounded him. Think of those stripes, those lashings that he was given. And then they took him out to be crucified. The terrible humiliation of being lifted up on a cross and everyone was there to gaze on you and mock you. My Saviour went that way for me. But then, after 3 days, we come to the passage I've read in Matthew. A great earthquake, and God sends an angel out of heaven to roll away the stone from the mouth of the tomb where Jesus was. He didn't do it to let the Lord out of the tomb. It says later on in the passage that he is not here, he is risen. That stone is rolled away so that you and I could look in and see an empty tomb and realise the triumph what my blessed Saviour has done for me. He's borne my sins, as he said, but he's come out of death triumphant. He's conquered death. He's conquered the grave. And he's at God's right hand. And we present him there as a glorious living Saviour. If only you'll put your trust in him. The hymn says simply, trust him. That is all. The trouble is, people's minds are so complicated these days. They want to be able to do something themselves. They want to be able to argue through everything. But simply trust him. That is all. The gospel is so simple that even the simplest soul can take advantage of God's great offer in the glad tidings. And so this angel has rolled away the stone. His look was as lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became as great as dead men. You think of that? Those Roman soldiers, they'd seen it all before. They were hard, hard men. No doubt they'd seen battle, Roman soldiers. No doubt they'd seen the worst things that men could see. But for fear of the angels, they trembled. God has got the victory. And that victory is available to you and to me today, if only we'll put our trust in Jesus. Jesus has broken the power of death. He's living. The hymn says we serve a living Saviour. And that's the one we're presenting to you. A Saviour, but a living one. We love to think of him at God's right hand. We love to think of the heavens opening up and the blessed Saviour going up there. He's at God's right hand now, waiting for that moment when he comes again to take each one of us who loves him to be with himself. The time is an opportunity, a marvellous opportunity in the gospel for you to consider God's work, God's love towards you, the work of Christ when he died for you on Calvary. Will you accept it? Or are you going to say, not for me? Or even if you say, well, I'll think about it, but not this week. Don't say that, dear friend. Don't say that. Don't put it off. God wants you to believe in his Saviour today. His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died. Accept that work for yourself. Say, I'm a sinner. I need a Saviour. I want you, Jesus, to come into my heart and into my life. It's so simple, and yet so many are prepared not to face up to eternal questions. Where will you spend eternity? I heard a story many years ago about an old preacher. He was in London. And I don't know whether he was fascinated by the underground or what, but there was those long tubes with the escalators going down, far down into the earth. Often you'd get one escalator going down and the other one going up. And his message, he preached on the escalator. He said, up and down, up and down. make sure your last journey is up. That's the message we want to just leave with you, that you might be sure that you'll be taken up to be with the blessed Lord, that you'll be up there in heaven, enjoying eternity with our heavenly Saviour. I recognise that most, if not here, are Christians. And so I read these passages in Romans, not to refer to them in any great detail, but just to remind us of the victory that Paul sets out in this chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Chapter 7 is a chapter of turmoil, struggling in his soul, or he's telling how he struggled in his soul when he was trying to do things that he knew were right, and he found he had no power to do them, and there was an awful struggle going on inside. And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He could do nothing, but Jesus had done everything for him, and he was going to rely on that work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the help of the Saviour and the blessed Holy Spirit to do what was right. And so the chapter 8 starts with, there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Let us lift our sights, dear friends, to something of the glory of where Jesus is and where what he's done for us, that we might be here in a way that's pleasing to us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. What a message. Message for 2020. This most unusual year. Nothing like it for 70 years. Most of us can never remember anything like it at all. And yet we have these messages from 2,000 years ago which can lift our hearts and remind us of what God has done for us. If God be for us, who against us? God's for us. He's demonstrated that by giving his only begotten Son. What a marvellous gift that was. How much it must have cost God, the Father, to give his only begotten Son. But he's done it for me and for you, and to get an answer to his own love in sons who are going to worship him. And so, we go on to read this passage, and throughout it, it is Christ who has died, but rather has been raised up, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. He's there. He's interceding for us, for you and for me, in circumstances where we may find we're down, where things get on top of us, where the going gets difficult. Jesus is there as interceding for us. And then, who shall separate us from the love of God? He goes through that list of things. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation and so on. And then he finishes this chapter with, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's think about those things as Christians a bit more. Let's lift our view from things around here and just be reminded of where Jesus is. The victory is his, and we're to be with him in that victory, to enjoy something of being more than conquerors. We need the help of someone from outside ourselves. God has given us his Holy Spirit. Some of you will know I've referred earlier to the fact that it's a marvellous thing that one of the persons of the Trinity actually indwells human beings like you and me. is prepared to do that, to help us to be more than conquerors. And we have the hope that I've already referred to, that the Lord is coming again to take everyone who loves him to be with himself. What a marvellous prospect we have. So make sure that your last journey is up. I plead with you, be sure. Don't have any uncertainty in your heart, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You'll know the peace and joy of having a link with a Saviour. I ask you to consider this today in the name of the Lord Jesus.